Got to rein him in, eh? I'm not shy. Not typically. If you are ready, I am ready. Kind of. We are on Facebook now. We weren't going to be, but we are. It's going to go down after I'm done, but it'll be on the church website. But good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Scott Ward. I am not an elder here. But I'm a servant, and I appreciate what's been going on. Everybody's been pitching in to keep this thing going, serving the Lord. There has been some really good messages, and you know, every message has something in it. And what's interesting is sometimes I found that I prepare, then I don't say something I was going to, but I say something I wasn't going to. And most of the time, someone like Trudy comes up and swats me and then says, I really needed to hear that. But I hadn't planned on saying it. So, you know, when the Lord's speaking to you, we got to listen. And but thank you for everybody who's serving here in whatever way you're serving. Sandy, the goodies. Nancy, the goodies. Nothing says I love you like butter and sugar, you know? I mean, it's... Keith talked about last week about, is this a country club or is this a church? And I think sometimes, and that's something I've been wanting to speak about for a while, but that's not my calling today to speak about that. But I appreciate that. I had a couple of possible subjects. Those guys, they don't ask me to speak on anything in particular to kind of give me free rein, and I think they kind of go, you just never know for sure what's he going to come up with. Yeah, I'm looking for that big hook. Before I go any farther, I should pray. Father, thank you for everyone here that are following, Lord, and wanting to learn about you. And I pray, Lord, as I stand up here, that you speak through me and that we all listen to what you're having to say. Thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, we hear about a tragic stabbing going on in Traverse City. I heard that this morning, and it just makes my heart ache. And we pray for those families and those that are victims. We pray that your hand would be there. Lord, direct us in our days. We thank you for everything you do and have done. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would love us, guide us, and forgive us in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So anyway, I was preparing, and I'm thinking, well, I could talk about grace because somebody asked me about grace a while back. Not Grace Horn, grace as in grace from the Lord. Thought about talking about a marriage relationship, being married to the Lord later on. And then it just kind of popped in that waiting on the Lord. Now that's something that we all do. We all wait on something. We're not very good at it. You don't think so, wait till you get in your car and leave and get out in traffic. You'll see how people wait. Not very good. But we live in a society right now. It's a right now. It's a microwave society. Everything's right now, right now. And it's also a throwaway at the same time. You don't like your car? Junk it and get another one. You don't like your marriage? Throw it away. Find another one. That's what everything is. And that's not how it's supposed to be. But it seems like sometimes that we as humans don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to work on nothing. It's just easier to move on. Be like Paul Harvey, page 2. So, I'm sorry. According to Webster, waiting is a verb, and it goes into intransitive and transitive and all that. I'm not going to give you an English lesson. It's to remain stationary in readiness, expectation to look forward to expectantly, to be ready and available. So I think that's one thing that, so Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So now we're all waiting for something. But here's another take on it. In Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This Hebrew, and there's lots of wait and waiting in the Bible. The Hebrew word for this, in this particular, and it's all over in Scripture, waiting, is kava, which is mean to bind together, perhaps by twisting, blending, to expect, gather together, to look patiently. That gives another take on waiting. It's like, wait a minute. So I'm waiting on him, and I'm supposed to be bound together with him. So do we just sit on the couch and say, well, Lord, when you want me to, let me know. You know my address. I'll be here. No, that's not what he has in mind. Speaking of waiting, we're waiting for a pastor. Okay? We're waiting for the Lord to send us one. How are we doing that? Are we grumbling and complaining? Are we actively praying? I mean, I get it. Everybody's ready for somebody. Probably the elders the most. They're picking up and they're getting it done. And I appreciate that. But so what? How are we supposed to wait, especially for a pastor? Prayer? There's prayer, there is trusting his timing, actively seeking, humbling yourself, and waiting quietly at the same time. Serving others while continually seeking his presence. Psalm 62, 1 and then verse 5, truly my soul silently waits for God, from him comes my salvation. And then 5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Being quiet's not always our nature either. But here's another part of that. In Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. It's like, now wait a minute. Now he's waiting for us. Why? Am I in his way? Is there bitterness? Is there stubbornness? Is there unforgiveness? What is it? Lack of submission? We're all full of something. We need to be full of him, not ourselves, or the stuff that makes plants grow. We don't want to be full of that either. I've been all of the above myself. But we need to die to self every day. Stop thinking we're in control, because you're not. You can't even draw the next breath without him letting you. You might think you're something, but I hate to give you the bad news, but you haven't arrived. Not yet. But we're all a work in progress. So there's more to that, but one of the best examples of waiting I've seen in a while, and I hate to call someone up on the spot, but I'm going to ask my daughter to come up. They got married and were trying to have children. She is the first one I expected to have a child. Turns out she'll be the last one. But
just, hey, where do you want me to start?
Well, you've been trying for six years.
Okay. And within the first year, we had 5 miscarriages. And after that, we went 5 years of nothing. We were at the point where about a year ago, we said, if by January of 26, we do not conceive, we're going to adopt. In August of last year, a young girl came to us who was struggling, and she was pregnant. And my husband was like, are you going to be okay with helping her? And I said, I think so. So we spent a lot of time helping her and being the Lord's servant for something that was a terrible thing for us, horrible fertility journey. September, I went to a Bible study and really started praying. And I felt the pull that something was gonna happen. Like, this was our year, something was happening. I guess I should backtrack. In this 5 years, we had 2 failed inseminations, lots of unanswered questions. Finally, in March of last year, I got a diagnosis of polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is basically, if you don't know what that is, the reason for my previous miscarriages was my progesterone would drop, and then I couldn't keep the pregnancy. And so, and I also developed cysts, and you don't ovulate properly. And so I was in and out of the ER many times with cysts, to the point where they actually were gonna remove one of my ovaries. And my surgery was scheduled last June, and the first one got canceled because I was sick. And then the next one, they canceled it. And then they rescheduled for the third, and I was like, I don't think I should have this surgery. And I just kept praying, and I'm like, I don't think we should have this surgery. And so we didn't. And so this September, like I said, I went to Bible study, and I just kept, we were actually studying Matthew. And then my dad called me and asked me if I wanted to be in Journey. And I said, I don't know, Dad, like all of the people are pregnant. I just don't know that I can do that.
It was a hard ask too, but.
And he's like, what about the first scene where they come in? And I'm like, okay, we can do this. So all of Journey, I just really felt called and led and like I should be there. And I had multiple people text me afterwards and say, I'm hoping that one day I'll get a text that this is you having this pregnancy. And 10 days later, after Journey, I conceived. And we are pregnant with our miracle baby.
Yep. Now you know why I called her up, because I couldn't have said it. That is... She served in that, and if you, those of you who haven't went through Journey, that's where the angel visits Mary and says, you're going to have a baby. And I knew that was going to be hard for her, but she did it. To me, that's a good example of waiting, because she finally just gave it to the Lord, and you can, thanks, honey. I love you.
I love you too.
Kind of hard to follow that, isn't it? That's so in Jeremiah 29:11 says, the NIV says, I know the plans I have for you, but in the King James is, I know the thoughts I have for you, that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, that you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and I will, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And I thought that last part, captivity, I understand in context what that is, but that's also captivity that we put ourselves in sin. I think sometimes we spend so much time looking back, and I've talked about that before. we can't look back. You know, things that have happened to you, it's important. What you do with it from here is more important. And the Lord don't want you to wallow in that stuff. And so anyway, is he waiting on you? Is he waiting on me? A few weeks back, I was about the time they asked me to speak, and I was feeling pretty convicted that I wasn't following. This is a big deal to be up here. It's a big responsibility. And I said, you know, I woke up one morning, I said, Holy Spirit, today, you have control of this. I want you to have control of this. I want you to have control of this, and I want you to have control of the rest. And I'll tell you what, you try that some morning. Oh my goodness. You might find, well, maybe that wasn't so bad, but it wasn't necessarily good either. You might find out that maybe you're not following as close as you thought. He wants our full attention because he does have plans for you. And if you haven't accepted the Lord, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? In Ephesians, I didn't write this down. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And basically, not that of yourselves, not that of works. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Okay? But then the next verse is, I probably won't be able to find it, but it basically says, for we are his workmanship. Sorry, got to get the C&I dogs out now. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That means he's got something for you to do. So we need to get over ourselves and get busy. He has things for you to do here. And it's so much easier. Pardon me, it's so much simpler following the Lord. It's not easy. But at the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. The other version said, this is the duty. But fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good and evil. Good or evil, pardon me. So while we wait, that is a form of, can be a form of humbling yourselves. It's a form of worship. It's trust. Well, it's evidence of trust, actually. But while we're waiting on him, for whatever it is, if it's a job, if it's health, if it's a baby, keep focused on the Lord, because that's what he wants. He wants all of you. He doesn't want some of you now and then, he wants all of you. So, just like I heard an old radio preacher one time saying, when the Lord sends us tribulation, he expects us to tribulate. I'm like, well, so when you're waiting, wait with good cheer, wait with expectation, wait with trust. These are all your brothers and sisters. Love one another, serve one another. If you don't know them, get to know them. Help share one another's burdens. And I don't know where I come up with this. I read this somewhere. It says, when the storm hits, put down the phone and get to the throne. I thought I really like that. But God bless you all. I hope there was a little something there that you could chew on today. And I'm going to pray and call it a day. Father, we thank you. Just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine we have out there. Thank you for willing brothers and sisters here. And Father, we pray that every day we would get closer to you, that we would look to you, and we would crawl off the throne ourselves and let you back up there where you belong. We just love you, Lord. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. That's it.